Scripture reading for today is taken from the letter known as 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We read verses 9 and 10. This is the portion that deals with Paul's thorn in the flesh. And God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. I've had a number of times as a parish pastor when I had to go into a child's cancer ward in various hospitals, usually up in the Twin Cities. And it's one of the most difficult things to walk through if you've ever been in that type of a part of the hospital. As hard as they try to make it fun and cheerful for kids, painting castles and birds and rainbows on the walls, it's just such a difficult place to be. And it challenges us sometimes when we see children that are dealing with that type of a situation, these innocent kids. It challenges us and wonder, why in the world would God let this happen? Why in the world does God allow and permit this type of suffering in the world? And it can make us sometimes call into question whether God really is good, or whether God really is all-powerful, or in the minds of some, whether he even exists. So why does God permit this type of thing to be in our world? Now, if we ask that question from a perspective of really wanting to know, that can be a healthy question for us and for our spiritual lives. If we're asking that question, though, because we're trying to judge God as if we know better than God and have a higher moral understanding of things than God would, then it can be a dangerous question. So we need to be careful how we investigate these matters and how we go about answering them. We must remember that God is never the instigator. He's never the creator of evil. In him is light, John says. There's no darkness at all. James tells us that it's not as though he is a shadow that changes and shifts. So God is always good. He is always light. Now, when we think about things like that with little children, or maybe in your own life, things that don't always go right, or concerns that you have in members of your family, we recognize that there are many tools, hellish tools, in Satan's toolbox to afflict people, to torment us, like torturous tools that they had in the Middle Ages. The devil has many things in his weaponry to come at us and to try to cause harm to us. And he's continually plaguing people in this world. Not just believers, but unbelievers. Atheists, pagans have to deal with problems and cancer and issues like that too. But God wants us to understand as believers in Christ that when these tools are used against us, they are always coming with a spiritual purpose in mind from our enemy. And that is to take away our faith and to ultimately disarm us of all the things that would keep us in God's kingdom. And that's why St. Paul, earlier in the words right before our text, talks about this thorn in the flesh as a messenger of Satan to torment me. A messenger of Satan to torment me. When I was young, I used to love watching the Andy Griffith Show. And there's one episode that often sticks in my mind. And it's one where his little son, Opie, is going to school every day with his milk money, and there's a bully that keeps beating him up and taking away his milk money and threatening him. And he keeps coming back to his dad with this problem and how to deal with it. Now, his father could easily step in, intervene, and stop the situation. His dad is not only a bigger adult, but he's also the father of this boy, and he's the chief law enforcement officer in the county. He had about every possible element of authority you want over this bully, and yet he chooses to let it keep happening to his son. But he also instructs his son, Opie, as to how to go about this and how to deal with this and to handle this situation. But the love of the dad overrides probably what his gut instinct is to stop everything. His love for his boy overrides the situation and permits the evil to keep taking place for the benefit of his son. God could step in at any time he wants to prevent evil from happening to you or one of your loved ones. He has all power and all authority, and he could easily prevent that from happening. He could stop every bad thing from ever hitting you in your life. And many times he does that we maybe aren't even aware of. There are many times when he uses his angels to just shield us from things that would have just destroyed us. And yet God at times also forcefully grabs the very tools that Satan may use to torment you. He grabs those same tools, takes them out of his hands, bends them, and shapes them for his purposes, and still permits us at times to have to deal with them. I'm going to give you 6 things that I've pulled out of Scripture. There are probably many more as to how God may use these things. First of all, just to cause us to have a more heavenly focus in life. We can get so focused on earth. Paul and Barnabas, when they were preaching to people in southern Turkey, said, "We must go through great tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God." So maybe just to keep you a little more focused on heaven. Secondly, to provide us with opportunities where we can actually talk about God and his grace. Sometimes these situations in people's lives are the most wonderful evangelism opportunities. 3, to empty us of ourselves and of our own power, to give up on ourselves, and to remember that it's only through Christ that we will reach heaven. Paul put it this way, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I am weak, then I am strong." Also, to draw us closer to God, to get our faith to become more bright. Somebody can blow on a fire to try to put it out, but you can also blow on a fire to ignite it and to make it burn even more brightly. Fifthly, maybe to stir up your prayer life. Maybe that's a part of your life, like it's often with mine, we're tempted to kind of neglect that and let it go. To stir up our prayer life. And finally, to create or stir up faith in the heart of someone else. Maybe not just you. Maybe God uses these things in your life for one of your siblings, or maybe for your parents, or someday one of your children. So God can come up with a variety of wonderful ways to take the tools out of the devil's hands, but use those same things in a way that benefits his church. And so even in the middle of hardship, of the difficulty of dealing with this thorn in the flesh, Paul calls upon all of us, by the Holy Spirit, to see God's blessing in all of this. Out of what appears to be curses from God can often be great blessings. Blessings that you may realize later in life, maybe not, but for sure in heaven, you will realize were blessings. I had the difficult task twice in my parish ministry of having to bury 2 girls that had died of cancerous brain tumors. And that was really hard. In both cases, it was over a year of going to see them in hospitals. But I'll tell you this, I would love someday to have just a little bit of the faith that both of those young Christian girls had. If you're having a hard time because of things in your life, thinking and wondering about whether God cares for you, just take out a crucifix and put it in your hand and contemplate what happened there thousands of years ago and how God did that just because he wanted you to come to heaven someday and wants your sins to all be washed away. Or maybe go look, pull out your baptismal certificate and look at that once again. There's a great passage in Zechariah where God says, "He who touches you," talking to his church, to his believers, "he who touches you touches the apple of my eye." It's as if God is saying to Satan, "Get your damn hands off my child. Get your hands off my child." Behind the curtain of God's hidden will for us, we can't always see what's going on and why he's making certain moves. And sometimes on this side of the curtain, it appears to contradict this loving God that we know we have in Scripture. But God calls upon us to trust him. And when you pray to him, he invites you to simply say, "Thy will be done." So may God give us always the eyes of faith to see even the afflictions that we have in life as blessings from him and not as curses, and to see them as tools that he has taken away from the devil to use for our good and for our benefit. Because what God ordains is always good. Amen.